Turn your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And as you're turning there, share a little something with you. As the graveside service had just finished, there was a tremendous burst of thunder and a huge lightning bolt, and more thunder rumbled. The little old man looked at the pastor and calmly said, "Well, she's there now, and she is his problem from now on." That's terrible, Harley. Why'd you share that one with me?
I don't know.
Amen. A few weeks ago, we began to look at messed up is not washed up. And we looked at a preacher in the Bible who messed up, and he messed up in a big, big way. Matthew chapter 26, the Bible tells us that he swore and he cursed right in the middle of a huge crowd of people. Ultimately, he would end up denying his Lord three times. Now, upon hearing this, most churches today would have voted that pastor right out of the pulpit. Amen. But praise God, he was not finished with that preacher. Amen. And when you mess up, you need to know that God is not finished with you either. Let's look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me." Skip down to verse 54. Having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with Jesus." But Peter denied him, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. So we see here that Peter absolutely messed up, and he messed up in the worst way. And as we look into God's word this morning, be assured that messing up does not mean that you are washed up with God. God is not done with you yet. Amen? We need to praise God just for that. When we mess up, we need to understand that all is not lost. If we are willing, God will use our mess up to teach us something, to strengthen us in some way. Failure is not a roadblock that keeps us stuck in our past. It needs to be a street sign to direct us in the future. In verse 33, Peter said, "Lord, I am ready." I is at the center of sin. I is also at the center of pride. And this is exactly where Peter failed. Peter was putting all of his confidence in himself. Luke 9:23 tells us that we are to deny self. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We are to deny self, not put confidence in self. If we fail to deny self, before long, we're going to find ourselves in the same shoes as Peter, denying our Lord. Now, when we mess up, It's normally in our strongest area. Peter was a disciple that was full of courage. When all the disciples were gathered together on that boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter was the only one that stepped out into the water and walked on that water towards Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the high priest sent his guards to arrest Jesus, it was Peter that drew his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus, one of the high priest's servants. Peter was that disciple of courage. And yet, he failed to have the courage to stand with Christ. You see, an unguarded strength is an overpowering weakness. An unguarded strength is an overpowering weakness. So Peter messed up, and he was heartbroken, no doubt, when he heard that rooster crow. The Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. But that rooster didn't just signal his mess up. That rooster was also a messenger. And praise God for that messenger. It was telling him that failure is not final. And when we need to hear that same exact message, that rooster doesn't crow to bring an end to the day. It crows to usher in a new day. And we need to remember God's promise that His mercies are new upon us every single day. Amen. The first truth that we considered in our learning journey was number one. When we mess up, we need to see the Almighty Christ. Jesus is the sovereign Almighty God. Amen? We cannot separate the two. When we mess up, not if, but when. When we mess up, we need to take our eyes off of that failure, off of that mess up, and place them on the Almighty Christ. That rooster shows us just how sovereign, just how almighty, just how much dominion Jesus has over all creation. Verse 60. Skip back to verse 60 in our text. In verse 60, Peter said, "Man, I did not know what you were saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him before the rooster crows, "You will deny me three times." You see, in those simple verses there, we need to understand the magnitude of Christ. Not only did he make that rooster crow at the exact moment of Peter's third denial, but he also kept every other rooster in all of Jerusalem from crowing at the same time. If you ever were raised on a farm or near a farm, you know that's impossible to do. Once one rooster crows, what happens? It's an orchestra. Amen? All this proved the magnitude of Jesus' sovereignty and his might. Peter thought that things were out of control. But when things unraveled exactly as Jesus said they would, Peter's eyes were opened, and he knew that Jesus was still in control. Look into Psalm chapter 8, verses 6 through 9. "You have made him," speaking of Christ, "to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth." Then going to John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Jesus is sovereign, And he has dominion over all things. That included his arrest, that included his trial, and that included his crucifixion. No one had the power to take Christ's life. He laid it down. Why? For you and for me. Plain and simple. Because of his unconditional love for us. For Peter, he had that original doubt. That doubt turned to fear. Fear overcame his faith. And that led to denying his Lord. And we have to be careful for that same path. Faith is believing God regardless of the circumstances, and faith is obeying God regardless of the consequences. Amen? We will mess up from time to time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. How many things? All things. What does all mean? All means all. That's all that all means, right? Everything that happens to us, good or bad. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God. God has given us some encouragement here this morning. We need to understand that every mess up in our life is an all thing. Amen? How wonderful is that? Every single time we mess up, our faith may fail, but Jesus never fails us. He's in complete control of all things. No matter how many things are spiraling downward in your life, no matter how many things seem to be coming apart, Jesus is in complete control of all things. Amen? Go back to verse 31 in our text. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. We need to understand that Satan has to ask permission to touch any born-again believer. He had to do it here with Peter, and he had to do it in the Old Testament when we read through the book of Job. He had to get permission to touch Job. Jesus has Satan on a leash. Satan cannot touch you unless God gives him permission. Unless God allows it. And if God allows Satan to touch you, he has a reason. He has a purpose. Why? Because all things work together for the good to those who love God. Amen? Jesus is in complete control, and we need to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Second truth we need to understand this morning. When we mess up, not only do we need to see the sovereignty of the Almighty Christ, but we also need to see the loving Christ. Skip down to verse 61 again. In that simple verse, the Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. What was that look? Was it hatred? Was it vengeful? Was it payback? Not even close to any of those. That look was the look of injured love. Amen? Jesus never, no matter how bad the mess up is, stops loving us. Amen? We need to understand that. We need to etch that on our hearts. In all of his agony, all that Jesus was going through, his heart was concerned for Peter. That was the look. He was concerned for his backslidden and broken disciple. Plain and simple. That was a look of pure compassion. His loving eyes were fixed upon that broken disciple. Jesus does not change us so that he can love us. Jesus loves us so that he can change us. Amen. Despite our mess-ups, He loves us unconditionally. He loves us just as we are. However, He loves us too much to leave us that way. To leave us broken, to leave us in our sins. He tries to strengthen our faith. He changes our heart. He replaces that old calloused heart with a warm, loving heart. It's His love that changes our heart. I don't believe that Peter was a hypocrite when he told Christ that he says, "I am ready to go with you to prison and death." I believe that Peter believed that in his heart. No doubt. Peter was more surprised when he messed up than anyone else. And I say that because I'm just as guilty as Peter. You know, there's been times when, you know, I lost my temper. And when anger rose to the surface, that outburst that followed surprised me. But after a time of reflection, after a time of repentance and reflecting, it was then that I realized that Jesus never stops loving me. No matter how bad the mess up, no matter how bad I fail Him, He never stops loving me. There is nothing more that I can do to make Jesus love me less, and there is nothing more that I can do to make Him love me more. Amen? We need to understand that. That's what it means that He loves us unconditionally. No matter what we do, good or bad, He loves us unconditionally. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't die for us because we were so lovable. Jesus didn't die for us because we were so great and faithful. Jesus died for us when we were yet sinners. Didn't even give Him a second thought. We're only worried about self. That's when Jesus died for us. So when you mess up, don't ever let Satan try to convince you that Jesus doesn't love you anymore. Look up and see His loving eyes fixed upon you. Third truth this morning. When we mess up, we need to see the safe-keeping Jesus. Verse 61 tells us that Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Did you ever think about what exactly Peter remembered? Did you ever spend some time in thought? I believe we get a glimpse of it in verses 31 and 32. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Then Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." And this is the curious part of that verse. "And when you have returned to me." Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. That's why He added this to that verse. He says, "But when you have returned to me." He knew that Peter was going to fall away. He knew that Peter was going to deny Him. But He also wanted Peter to know, "It's okay because I still love you." He says, "When you return to me, strengthen your brethren." Now, in those two verses, we see that there were two people intensely interested in Peter's mess up. One was Christ. Who was the other one? Satan. Christ and Satan. Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat. When you sift wheat, you're shaking it out, and you separate the good grain from all the junk, all the garbage. The junk rises to the top, and that good grain sinks to the bottom. Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat, and Satan has the same desire for all of us. He would like nothing more than to sift us as wheat. Why? So he can get all that junk in our flesh, all that garbage that we get from the world and from our old nature, so that he can get all that junk to rise to the top. That's what Satan wants to do for all of us. And then once that junk rises to the top, what does he do? He points the finger at us before Christ and he says, look what so-and-so did. Look what so-and-so just did. Look at all that junk that's rising up to the top. He wants us to mess up so that he can just accuse us before Christ. Now we need to understand, as far as Jesus is concerned, he will allow Satan to sift us from time to time. Sometimes we have some hidden junk that needs to be exposed, don't we? We don't like to admit it. We don't want to tell anybody. We keep it hidden in the dark. But over time, we all have some hidden junk that needs to come to the top and be exposed. And sometimes it's things that we didn't even realize that we had. Hidden away, tucked deep down inside the flesh. But Jesus knows it's there. And he allows Satan to sift us as we, to get that garbage to come to the top. So that he can cleanse us from those impurities. And after we repent and we get rid of that junk and those impurities, what is left? Nothing but that pure, good wheat. And that's Christ's desire for all of us. And when we mess up, it's vitally important for us to see that we are safe, that we are secure in the almighty hands of Christ. Peter messed up. He denied his Lord three times, but he was still eternally secure as a born-again believer. Jesus would have never said, when you return to me, strengthen the brethren, if that weren't true. Verse 32. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. We also need to understand that didn't just apply to Peter. That applies to every single born-again believer. Go to John chapter 17. In verse 9, Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Skip down to verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 20. Now write your name next to this verse. I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about his disciples. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who is that? That's us. That's you and me. Jesus didn't just pray for his disciples. He is praying for each and every one of us. And Jesus sees us right where we are, messed up and all. And he's looking out for our well-being. Every single moment. What's he doing for us now? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. What is intercession? It's prayer. Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is standing up for us. Jesus is our advocate. He is our lawyer. Every time that junk, when Satan sifts us and that junk comes to the surface and Satan points the finger, it's Jesus that stands up and he says, Father, that one's mine. I died for him, or I died for her. And all that junk is covered under my blood. That's intercession. Jesus is praying for our faith. He also says that he is able to save to the uttermost. What does that mean? That means he is able to keep us to the end of time. He is able to keep us to the end of time. That is eternal security. The Bible says the work that he has started in us, he will what? Finish. It doesn't say he may, he might. The Bible says the work that he started in us, he will finish. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, I mess up. Just don't tell my wife, she doesn't know. I mess up, you mess up, everybody messes up. Some of the greatest men and women of faith in the Bible, they messed up. But we have to understand that the sun will come up tomorrow and that rooster will crow and signal a new day dawning for each and every one of us. And praise God, his mercies are renewed upon us every single morning. Every time that sun comes up, it's as if we never sinned. It's as if we never messed up. It's as if we have never failed God once. That's what that means. And praise God, Jesus isn't like us. You see, Jesus doesn't hold grudges. We do, don't we? We say we don't. We try not to. But we still do. But praise God, Jesus doesn't hold grudges, and there is not a crisis, there is not a crisis or hardship that he cannot overcome. He is the sovereign, almighty God. He is the all-loving Jesus that loves us with an unconditional love and will never stop loving us. And he is the one in which we are safe and secure through all eternity. Praise him this morning.